favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain, Senator Michael Jungbauer.
Good morning. Good morning. Do we hold hands or anything today? The president says, members, it's good to be here, and geez, I just don't see the seats filled. Somebody must have got rumor that I was going to be here. We have this new senator, and I really wanted him to go through the idea that once a year we just have to turn to our fellow members and give them a hug. So just for the new member here today, can we just at least have Senator Ingebrigtsen go over and give him a hug?
Where's the camera? They're getting carried away here.
All right. I just love to see so much love in this chamber. Thank you. All right, let's not get carried away. If you'll just bow with me in a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. I ask your hand a blessing upon each of the members, the staff, our interns, the staff back at our offices. Lord, it's going to be a tough year as we go through some of these things with the budget. Just give us the wisdom that you would have for us to defend and preserve that which we need in Minnesota, to look ahead to our future, to stand firm for leadership and vision, and to, above all else, love our neighbor as ourself. We just give you all the honor and glory in your name. Thanks. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Good job.
All right.
Good.
Secretary, you'll take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Corrin, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of committees put in the agenda be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is second reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. The next order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. There are five, under motions and resolutions, the next order of business, there are five author's amendments. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Sieben, do you have a motion to make?
Mr. Chair, I move that House File 1209 be withdrawn from the Committee of State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, be given a second reading and placed on general orders.
Senator, this is your bill, and beyond that Sieben motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Second reading.
House File 1209.
Second reading. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that Senate File 2542 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay, this is your bill. And
yes, Mr. Chairman.
Jenny, how are you?
On the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate File 3276 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security, given a second reading and placed on general orders.
Okay, a very brief description.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 3276 is a resolution. It's a resolution that I hope the Minnesota State Senate will adopt. The resolution does two things. It addresses the federal health care bill that's been proposed in Congress. I understand, members, that Congress may pass that bill as early as Saturday. I'm asking that the members of the Minnesota Senate review that bill and look at the unconstitutional provisions in it, Mr. President. There are two aspects of that bill that are unconstitutional and have absolute relevance to the work that we do here in the Minnesota State Senate. The first is that the provision in the health care bill is a violation of the Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause is limited under the federal constitution, and the provisions in the health care bill go beyond what is authorized for Congress if you apply the Supreme Court precedents. Secondly, Mr. President, the capitation clause, or the per-person penalty or capitation tax in that bill, is also unconstitutional. And, Mr. President, under the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, any subject area that is not specifically granted to our U.S. Congress, any power of government is reserved for the states under the 10th Amendment. So, Mr. President, what I'm asking for today is that this Senate commit to a review of the constitutionality of that bill. I'm asking, Mr. President.
Hey, let's listen up.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'm asking that the members of the Minnesota State Senate look at the balance of power between the federal government and the state government, especially in light of the 10th Amendment and the provision of divided government in our U.S. Constitution. Members, it is our responsibility to make sure that the federal government doesn't overreach or encroach upon states' rights. And I'm concerned, as are many Minnesotans, that the health care bill pending in Congress now does exactly that. It's more than just a bill that you might disagree with. We're not trying to say that we disagree with our members of Congress. I think everybody in this chamber is very proud of their respective Congress members. That's not the point. The point is that as members of the Minnesota Senate, we all swore an oath to support the U.S. Constitution.
Mr. President, point of order.
State your point of order, Senator Pogamiller.
I believe the motion is to pull a bill out of committee. I think Senator Ortman should be speaking to the merits of taking the bill out of the committee, not to the merits of the bill.
Yeah, I think that's correct, Senator Ortman. Why should it be...
Mr. President, if I could, the justification for making this motion, I know we're past the first committee deadline, but there is an urgency. We expect that there will be a vote in Congress on Saturday, and so I do think I'm addressing the motion. Why we should take an extraordinary step that I don't think I've ever asked for on any other bill. It's an unusual thing for a member to do. But this is a very extraordinary time for our state and our country when the federal government is proposing what is an individual mandate to carry insurance. And what that means, members, is that Congress is intending to force everybody in the country to buy an insurance policy with a private insurance carrier.
Mr. President.
And that is not authorized under the Commerce Clause. Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I think it would be more efficient, Senator, if you would speak to why the bill should be pulled out of committee. Because, as I understand it, the bill you want to pull out of committee is scheduled for a hearing tomorrow in the committee.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, that's correct. And Senator Pogemiller, you know the process well. There will be a hearing tomorrow, but we know that it will have to have many hearings before this chamber will be able to vote on it. And I want to make sure that Minnesotans know that we are aware of our 10th Amendment rights, that we are protecting their interests, their constitutional interests in this bill, and that we speak on it when it's timely, that our Congress has the opportunity to hear us speak on this issue before they have to vote. And it's important, Mr. President, that our Attorney General be fully aware of the legal issues and our concerns in the Minnesota State Senate about our responsibilities under the 10th Amendment. And that's why, Mr. President, I'm asking that this chamber make an extraordinary motion today to take that bill out of the committee that it's been referred to and put on general orders. I'm hoping that we can debate that motion today, Mr. President.
Discussion, Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, would you yield?
Senator Marty will yield. Senator Berglund.
Senator Marty, could you tell us when you have this proposal scheduled to be heard in your committee?
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I think it's 10 o'clock tomorrow. We're meeting in room 15.
Thank
Senator
you.
Berglund.
Thank you, Senator Marty. So, Mr. Chairman, the proposal is scheduled to be heard. It is more appropriate to hear something of this complex nature in a committee before it would be brought to the floor of the Senate, and I would urge members to reject the motion.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, I think I did address that. We will hear the health policy aspects of this bill in committee tomorrow, but we will probably not be hearing the constitutional concerns. That would probably be in a different committee, probably the Judiciary Committee, and we will not hear that before our congressional delegation is asked to vote on this bill or pass this bill, as the case may be, on Saturday. Mr. President, I will ask for a roll call vote on this motion. I think this is as important a motion as I've ever heard in this chamber, because we need to talk about the impact to the state of Minnesota when the federal government encroaches upon our constitutional rights preserved under the 10th Amendment and encroaches upon Minnesotans' constitutional rights. The Commerce Clause does not authorize what's in this bill. Our federal government would be acting unconstitutionally and illegally, and the state of Minnesota should speak to the issue, Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm rather intrigued by the discussion today. It certainly is no secret to those following current events that Congress will be voting on this bill sometime this weekend, and yet it's oddly strange that the state of Minnesota, or for that matter any other state, hasn't had any official public dialogue about what Congress may do for or to them. And I think it's vitally important to have this discussion. In the event that, as Senator Ortman had suggested, the timing on this is going to be very difficult for us to have proper hearings in more than one committee by the time Congress votes on it this coming weekend. I think we should have our discussion now. I think it's appropriate. I think we have the ability to discuss it. I think all of us follow current events and news and politics in those news. It's kind of our second nature. I think we're well versed in what we need to discuss, and I think it's appropriate. And for that reason, Mr. President, I would like to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further proceedings under roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
Okay, on the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to support Senator Ortman's motion. And members, I serve on the Senator Marty's committee. I know that it is scheduled to be heard tomorrow. I think that is fine, well, and good. But we suspend the Constitution of the state of Minnesota frequently in this body to take up bills that we want to hear and pass in an expeditious way. And I think that this motion, this resolution that Senator Ortman is trying to bring to the floor, the proper venue for its discussion and debate is here on the floor of the Senate, not in a committee. And I think for all the reasons that were said earlier, this is an important issue for the people of the state of Minnesota. I think the people of the state of Minnesota need to see how the senators, how the Senate feels on this issue. And I think Senator Limmer's made a good point that this is an issue that is likely going to be taken up in Congress this weekend. It is important that we as a state send a message to our congressional delegation where the people of Minnesota are. And so I would urge that you would support this motion to bring this resolution to the floor for a proper debate, which should occur here and not in committee.
Senator Corey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I just want to say that I believe that we should work through the process here. Sorry to tell you that. I think pulling a bill out of committee is the wrong thing to do. And why don't we just debate all the bills here on the floor then all the time? And I have a suggestion that, I'm not sure where I stand on the federal health care bill because I haven't read the whole thing. But why don't we, the senators who have concerns with it, why don't you draft a letter and then all the senators that want to sign on to the letter would be on the letter, and we'd send that off to our congressional delegation. I think that's a good idea.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment that we do have three branches of the government, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And while we oftentimes in committee with the advice of people who are experts on the constitutionality of issues talk about those things, to make without that kind of discussion to vote for this at this point in time, in my opinion, would be irresponsible.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Indeed, we do have a separation of powers at the federal level between the three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. The key here, though, is the judicial branch members. The judicial branch cannot initiate a challenge. The challenge must come from a person or a party or, like, the state of Minnesota. There has to be a case or controversy. They don't just review congressional action without somebody bringing a lawsuit. And that's what I think we should be considering, members, is whether or not the state of Minnesota should be engaged in a lawsuit to challenge the constitutionality of the federal health care bill on the grounds that we've talked about, and perhaps there are others. But certainly the Commerce Clause, which is a limited function of our federal government, and if they act beyond the limitations of the commerce power, the United States Supreme Court has said anything beyond what they have in terms of their authority is vested and reserved to the state of Minnesota. And that's the power and the division in the government that I'm talking about. We have an extra responsibility in the state of Minnesota, not just to look after the citizens and pass laws that apply in the state of Minnesota, but to hold our federal government accountable when they encroach and overreach on their constitutional authority. We are equal partners when it comes to the division of government in a clause like the Commerce Clause. And for us now, we have a great responsibility to step up and say, the state of Minnesota has an interest here. We are concerned about it. Our congressional delegation should look at the state's interest here, and our attorney general should look after perhaps protecting and defending us in a court of law.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Ortman. If the question before the body then is what is the urgency, What is the urgency? Why take up this issue today? Well, I think there's multiple answers to that. There's a lot of urgency. The biggest urgency for this body is this is the last time we'll be meeting on the floor. Well, Mr. President, I will yield to Senator Pogemiller on that point. If he thinks we're going to meet in session again before Saturday, he has an announcement to make.
Mr. President, I am absolutely willing to meet tomorrow and Saturday. So if that's what's necessary, we can accomplish that. I'm absolutely willing because my intent is to clear off the general orders calendar before we go on Easter Passover break. So if members do want to meet tomorrow and Saturday, we can accommodate that.
Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Pogemiller. I appreciate that you also share that sense of urgency then, because we have a 2,700-page bill that's in front of our Minnesota congressional delegation right now. And I think we need the Minnesota State Senate and the Minnesota Legislature to go on record. This is the most important policy issue of 2010. There's no doubt. This is the issue for the year 2010, and the Minnesota Legislature should go on record. This is a chance for us to say, stop and start over. This is a chance for us to say, stop and start over. Mr. President, the other urgency is that this proposal asks to expand an entitlement program that is already $38 trillion in debt. That's $38 trillion of urgency, Mr. President. So I support the Ortman motion, and Senator Ortman, I think you might have a reaction to the calendar question here now.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Michelle, I know you might think this is urgent. If so, the bill might have been introduced before March 17th.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't serve on the health committees. I certainly did not believe that this bill would be passed out of Congress, especially since the bill itself had never been published, especially since the Congressional Budget Office had never done a fiscal analysis. I don't think it'll be out until today. I'm kind of surprised that Congress is even thinking that they could have a vote on this bill. There is an urgency when we look at it and realize that there are constitutional violations in the provisions of that bill, and that creates an urgency. It certainly did for me. It should for every member of the Senate to be very concerned when our federal congressional delegation will be taking up a bill that has far-reaching responsibilities and impacts on the citizens of the state of Minnesota and on the way we do business in the state of Minnesota. And I would like to think that the members of the Minnesota State Senate would be very supportive of this bill to preserve their right to act on behalf of the citizens of the state of Minnesota. We have very powerful chairs like Senator Berglund, who she's essentially an expert on health care. Why would she concede to the federal government all the authority on this issue and not reserve some to the state under the federal constitution? And the same is true for Senator Pogemiller. He's the majority leader, and yet I see him ceding authority to the governor and now to the federal government. We should be protecting our authority. We are duly elected members of the Minnesota State Senate. I've passed out your oath of office. It is to support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Minnesota. There is nothing more important than this bill. And I'm hoping members will help us here have the full discussion that we should and to weigh in so our Attorney General and our congressional delegation get some statement from the Minnesota State Senate.
Further discussion, Secretary Senator Sedgham.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Ortman, for bringing us up today. Bringing 3276 out of committee and onto the floor. And we talk a lot about declarations of urgency in this chamber, Mr. President, and I can think of no other time in my 7 years here, 8 years, I guess, now, where there is an urgency. There is an urgency. Sometime this weekend, Saturday or Sunday, there's going to be an historic vote in Washington. It's going to be, Senator Michelle talked about the vote of 210. I would suggest it's probably the vote of of the generation, probably the vote of a decade on either side of where we are today. This is a huge vote. It's a huge vote. The citizens of Minnesota are concerned. I was in Rochester last night. All I heard from people down there were concerns about the federal health care bill. Mr. President, we all know that the phone lines going into Washington today are clogged with advice, but I would simply suggest this. The voice of Minnesota through its people, the voice of America through its people is being heard in Washington. But the voice of the Minnesota legislature is also important. I think people of Minnesota are looking to this body, looking to this legislature to offer up some advice. And we can do that today by letting this bill go forward. So, Mr. President and members, I would urge a positive vote on Senator Ortman's suggestion, that is to bring the bill forward. Let's debate it on the floor of the Senate. Let's argue it either way you want to argue it, but let's have this debate. It's important. This is historic. This is a time in history when we're all going to remember, and we ought to have this discussion. We ought to have this vote. Thank you.
Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. Make no mistake, members, the federal government is moving on the state of Minnesota in a way that hasn't happened in our history. They will take over an entire industry and tell us that we are not only going to buy insurance, but what kind of insurance we're going to buy. But it's more than that. The healthcare system as we know it, if you look at this, will change, and it moves us towards, it is just a step towards, but a big step, socialized medicine, because there will be few options when this is over for us here to do anything but. They're telling us in every way, shape, and form how we're going to deal with health care, and then we'll have to go back and try and get waivers. How easy is it right now to get a waiver and do things different than the federal government tells us to do? How long does it take and how hard is it? We're not going to be able to do that anymore because they're going to own health care in Minnesota and the entire country. So with all the exceptions that they've put into it, Minnesota will be paying more for health care than many other states. So the issue is constitutional here. But for us, in a practical sense, it's really about whether we will stay as a state with any authority left to run the state for our people, or whether we will simply be administrators for the federal government. So I would very much encourage us all to vote for this. This isn't a partisan issue. It doesn't have to be. Let's get this resolution out and get it moving.
Okay, Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I would just like to say that we do need to bring this to the floor. Each and every one of us has a responsibility to look at this, to discuss this. As much as I appreciate a committee hearing, I think that every one of us wants to hear about this and have the opportunity to debate about this and ask questions, whatever it may be. So I absolutely support a yes vote in bringing this to the floor today.
Okay, the Secretary, this will take 41 votes because it didn't meet the first deadline. Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogerbiller.
I move those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Discussion on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've just talked about why this is an urgent issue and why we know Minnesotans care. Does anybody in this room not think that Minnesotans care very deeply about this issue, and we're going to try and excuse people from voting that are in the chamber,
Mr. President?
Senator Porter,
Senator Orton, would you like to keep the board open?
I think we
could. Mr. President, I think we should keep the floor open.
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Sure. I appreciate that, Senator.
That's fine. Absentees. Let's see where they're at and get them in here.
Suspend the rules if you don't like them. There's inconsistency.
We don't have to be. essentially.
All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There will be 22 ayes, 45 nays. The motion does not prevail. Senator Saltzman, do you have a motion to make?
I do, Mr. President. I would like to move that Senate file 3003, which is number 135 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. And the reason for that, Mr. Chair, is that this bill should have gone to finance instead of straight to the floor, and I want to make sure that it is heard by the appropriate committees, and we have talked to the appropriate chairs. This is a landfill siting bill.
Favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate file 1568 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary, given a second reading, and placed on general orders.
This is your bill, and
Mr. President, yes, it is. And we amended the bill in the last hearing. It, after discussions with the chair of the Judiciary, was determined it didn't have to go through that committee any longer.
On the Dahl motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Motion prevails. Second reading.
Senate file 1568.
Second reading. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate file 487 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. This is a early childhood education bill. It was actually heard this morning in the K-12 committee. We have checked in with Senator Rest, and she's agreed to this to move in the re-referring the bill back to her committee.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogomiller.
Mr. President, remaining on motions and resolutions, I'd move that we take up the Senate calendar.
Senator Pogomiller, you have to suspend the lieover.
You want to put that in the same motion and waive the lieovers.
On the motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Sieben. Oh, okay. Senate file 2388, third reading. Okay.
Mr. President, is it a House file?
Yes, House file. House file 3108, third reading.
House file 3108, a bill for an act relating to elections, changing and clarifying certain provisions.
Secretary will take the roll. all senators that have wanted to vote, that desire to vote? Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and zero nays, the bill is passed and its title is agreed to. House File 3111, third reading.
House File 3111, a bill for an act relating to elections requiring use of a ballot board to process absentee ballots, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators voting that desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and zero nays, the bill is passed and its title is agreed to. Senator Polgemiller.
Mr. President, intent is to recess now for caucuses, and I think where we're headed is that we're going to have a floor session this evening. I don't really want to delay the 12:30 committee meetings, and so I think we're going to have a floor session this evening and perhaps tomorrow. So but let's recess to the call of the chair now for caucus, and then we'll make the final decision on whether to meet this evening after I've had a chance to visit with some of the members. So I'd move to recess to the call of the chair, and hopefully that'll be in 15 minutes or so. I think the 12:30 committee meetings probably can plan on meeting at 12:30. So I'd recess to the call of the chair, hopefully in about 15 minutes.
On the motion. All in favor?
Mr. President, Senator Republicans Sinzen. In room 107.
Okay. 112, Mr. President, for the majority.
On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all in favor say aye. Senate stands in recess.
After broad consultation with committee chairs, the 12:30 group feels like they've done service by losing committee time, so I think we're going to recess. We are going to recess till 8 o'clock tonight, and we'll take up the GAMC bill tonight at 8 o'clock. That'll allow the 12:30 meetings to meet and the 3:30 meetings. And those committees that had evening meetings, they're apparently going to work straight through from 3:30 on. So I move the Senate recess till 8 p.m. this evening.
On the motion to recess till 8 p.m. this evening. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
Oh. Division. Senate stands at recess. Senator Polgemiller.
Mr. President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President, apparently there's an addendum. Does the
desk the addendum, Senator Polgemiller and members. We've got an addendum this evening. The first order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate files. Herewith returned, Senate file numbers 2439 and 2259, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House files, herewith transmitted, House file numbers 3017, 2879, and 2709, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Next order of business is first reading of House bills. There are three bills on the agenda without objection. First reading of House bills. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the addendum be adopted with the exception of the reports pursuant to Joint Rule 2.03.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on the addendum without objection. Second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There's one to be read.
Senator Olson G. introduces Senate File 3290, a bill for an act relating to state government, appropriating money and making reductions for environment, natural resources, energy, and commerce, etc.
First reading of Senate bills. The bill will be referred to the Finance Committee. Remaining under motion, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2937 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
This is your bill.
And yes, Mr. President, it is, and it deals with chemical treatment pilot projects, and it was scheduled to go to Senator Rest's committee, and she said that it was okay just to go on to finance.
On the Rosen motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 3193 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the committee, or returned to the author.
Okay, just a very brief explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill is really a duplication of a bill that Senator Tomasoni has. Some of the language in his bill is...
And it's your bill.
And it's my bill.
Yep. Okay, on the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 3043 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
This is your bill.
It is.
On the Vandeveer motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 3158 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources.
It's your bill.
It's my bill, Mr. President.
On the Vandeveer motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Rest, do you have a motion to be read?
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 3289 be withdrawn with the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. It should have been referred. It has to do with economic development.
On the rest motion,
anyway,
all in favor.
It should be in taxes first, not state and local.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate Senate File 460, a special order for immediate consideration, and yield to Senator 460, Senate File 460. Special order for immediate consideration, yield to Senator Berglund.
Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to start with a couple of cleanup amendments. I'd like to offer the A22 amendment to be followed by the A26 amendment, and I have copies here for pages.
Secretary will report the Berglund A22 amendment.
Senator Berglund moves to amend Senate File 460 as follows. Page 7, line 2, delete. This is amendment A22.
Senator Berglund on the amendment.
Mr. President, line 1.2 corrects a date related to the suspension of quarterly hospital payments. Department of Human Services gave us the wrong date originally, and now we're correcting it in the bill according to their revised advice. Lines 1.3 to 1.2 require DHS to provide ombudsman services for persons enrolled with a care coordination delivery system. DHS already provides advocacy services for GAMC clients enrolled in managed care, so this has no cost. Lines 1.21, delete the subdivision on transitional Minnesota care, which was inadvertently left out in an earlier deletion amendment. Lines 1.22, modify the list of comprehensive and medically necessary services that a coordinated care organization must provide to include medical transportation services rather than emergency ground ambulance transportation services. This has been agreed to by the governor's office and the other parties involved in negotiating the compromise. Lines 1.23 and 1.24 requires the Department of Human Services to provide to the legislature on a quarterly basis certain data reported by hospitals that operate coordinated care systems. Lines 1.25 to 1.27 exempt the new GAMC program from the requirement in current law that hospitals may not transfer patients or cause patients to be admitted to another hospital without the consent of the receiving hospital if a transferring hospital can meet the patient's needs. The rationale for this is that some hospitals, including out-of-state border hospitals, will not be participating in the GAMC program, so they need to transfer patients to participating hospitals. Lines 1.28 to 1.32 require counties to perform all duties necessary to administer the Minnesota Care Program for enrollees who transition from GAMC. Lines 1.33 is technical, and lines 1.34 and 1.35 make the transitional Minnesota Care phase out effective April 1st, 2010.
Okay, discussion on the A22 Berglund Amendment. See, not all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will report the Berglund A26 Amendment.
Senator Berglund moves to amend Senate File 460 as follows. Page 28 after line 27, insert section 12. This is amendment A26.
Senator Berglund on the amendment.
Mr. President and members, this is a little bit different form for allowing Minnesota Care enrollment to be done by county agencies. There's nothing substantive in this amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and members, thank you. I'll just make a few comments and of explanation about the bill before I take questions. Let me begin by saying that I don't feel that this bill is adequately funded. It's less than half of what the previous bill was, and that bill was, in my opinion, going to be asking a lot of providers. But having said that, this is a very poor, sick population that isn't going away. And so providing a means for them to continue to get prescription drugs and outpatient care is important, and this bill will provide a way to do that. So I'll tell you about the things that have changed in the bill. I'm going to skip over the things that were the same. I'm going to hope you remember those things. The bill creates coordinated care organizations and sets aside $71 million that will be made in payments to hospitals in the coordinated care organization system in a block grant amount to manage the care of their GMC patients. The first 17 hospitals that will be eligible for this will be those that have shown they provided over $1.5 million in GAMC care or 1.3% of their net patient revenue in GMC for calendar year 2008 in the fee-for-service part of the program. Those hospitals are Bemidji North Country Regional Hospital, Burnsville, Fairview Ridges Hospital, Coon Rapids Mercy Hospital, Detroit Lakes, St. Mary's Regional Health Center, Duluth St. Mary's Medical Center, Manoman Health Center, Mankato Emanuel St. Joseph's Mayo Health System, Minneapolis Hennepin County Medical Center, Minneapolis University of Minnesota Medical Center, Fairview, Abbott Northwestern Hospital, Moose Lake Mercy Hospital and Healthcare Center, Robbinsdale North Memorial Medical Center, Rochester St. Mary's Hospital, St. Cloud Hospital, St. Paul Regions Hospital, St. Paul United Hospital, and Wilmer Rice Memorial Hospital. Other hospitals during the first 6 months of this program beginning on June 1st will be eligible for an uncompensated care payment for hospital service provided to GMC patients. That will be a $20 million pool of money that comes from the Healthcare Access Fund. And after December 1st, those hospitals will either apply for becoming a coordinated care organization or not be eligible for GMC payments. We felt that prescription drug coverage was very important to this population. These folks, most of them have very many chronic diseases, and we know that a large percentage of them have mental illness. And so we really focused on making sure that there would be access to prescription drugs. So the prescription drug benefit is not ratably reduced in this bill, and we have a pool of money so people can get their prescription drugs at their hometown pharmacy, and the pharmacy will be able to bill DHS and continue to get paid for those prescriptions the way they do under the program today. Those who become coordinating care organizations will have to contribute to paying for the drugs with a 20% cost of the prescriptions they provide to their patients by paying that into the state to help pay for the prescription drug program. There are changes in the bill in terms of how the funding for the new GMC program will take place. Under the old bill, we were trying to maintain disproportionate hospital share payments for hospitals. That, of course, was eliminated when the governor vetoed GMC because GMC is the match for those federal dollars. But in the end, with the reduction in funding for the program, we had to maintain those DSH dollars for paying for the program itself. We're continuing to get drug rebates to pay for the program. recoveries, primarily through people becoming eligible for Social Security income and Medicaid. Then the two payment sources that were in the previous bill have been removed, the Community Social Services block grant reduction is no longer in this bill, and the rebasing for hospitals, the delay of that is no longer in this bill. And we were invited to find cuts that are already in the governor's recommendation to the legislature to replace those funds. And so the ones that we have in the bill are a delay of the Adolescent Act treatment funding, the elimination of adult mental health specialty grants, an elimination of child support grants that go to hospitals for helping determine paternity, an elimination of underspending in the Chemical Dependency Consolidated Treatment Fund, a carry forward of HIV funding, reductions recommended by the governor for DHS systems and central office operating costs, and we continue to have the reduction for adult mental health grants in the bill. There are no changes in eligibility, and there are no changes in services that people in the GMC program could be eligible for. But transitional Minnesota care is phased out. The fiscal note and the estimates by the department showed that there would be a lot of hospitals that would be trying to get people who otherwise would be in GAMC enrolled in Minnesota care. So we didn't feel we needed two avenues to get people out of GAMC and into Minnesota care, and so we have eliminated the transitional Minnesota care program. That and the fact that auto enrollment is not a part of this program means that the healthcare access fund will be left in balance for the remainder of this biennium. It will, even though it remains in balance, be paying for the 2 months that GMC would exist under a rateable reduction of, except for drugs, of 34% of what the previous program had paid to providers. And that $28 million is paid for by the Healthcare Access Fund, as well as the $20 million for the temporary uncompensated care pool. This program is made permanent, unlike the last bill that we had, which provided a program through the end of the biennium. I guess the other thing that I want to mention before I take questions is that there is a provision in the portion of the bill that designates the 17 hospitals for coordinated care organization payments, that three hospitals will receive a 10% increase in payments. Those hospitals would be Hennepin County Medical Center, Regents Hospital, and the U of M Medical Center Fairview. And the reason these three hospitals were picked to have a little bit of an increase, the total amount of this money we're talking about is only $3 million out of this $71 million pool. The reason is because the costs of GMC compared to total income for these three hospitals is very large. For Hennepin County Medical Center, the loss, if GMC was eliminated, is over $100 million. For Regents Hospital, it's $40.5 million. And for the U of M Medical Center Fairview, it's $26.5 million. And those dollars, in relationship to the total book of business they do, is fairly large. And so that's why those three hospitals were selected. Mr. President, final thing I'd like to say when we discuss this bill tonight and when we vote on this bill is that I hope people will keep these very low-income people who are very sick in mind. Most of these people have $3,000 a year or less to live on. One of the reasons they are so poor is because they are sick. Most of them have lost their jobs because of an illness. and in losing their job, they've lost their health care, they've lost their income, many of them have lost their homes, and they rely on this program as a way to get them to the next place, whether the next place be Veterans Administration Health Care Services or the Medicaid program for people who are declared disabled by the federal government, or whether this program helps them get well enough so they can transition themselves into Minnesota Care and back into the labor market. So this program is a very important program for people who are very sick in our state, people who are not going away just because we wish we could not have to pay for them. We know the people who are not going to go away if we don't have a program beginning April 1st are people that will be showing up frequently in emergency rooms of hospitals across this state. And while you have a run that shows you what this bill provides to hospitals in Minnesota compared to auto enrollment that the governor had proposed, and every hospital does better under this bill in spite of its meager funding, what the runs don't show you is how much your hospital would be paying if they had people who are sick like this coming through their emergency room on a revolving door basis. And that would be the only alternative if we don't have a general assistance medical care program. That would be very expensive, and it would drive up the cost of hospitals across the state, and thereby would drive up insurance rates across this state. So I hope we keep these people who need to be served in mind, and we remember that this program, while it may not be ideal, will provide funding for prescription drugs and for outpatient services that otherwise would not be available to this very sick population. Mr. President, I'd be ready for questions.
Discussion on Senate File 460, Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, would Senator Berglund yield?
She will yield. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, Senator Berglund, I've got a sheet here that says comparison of proposed GAMC legislation to the governor's original proposal to move GAMC into MinCare that you had signed. And I was just wondering, you had mentioned that there was 17 CCOs that were going to be included, and I guess I only see 10, and I'm wondering if you could explain that a little bit.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Fischbach, the Hospital Association did the run. They're really the only ones that have the capacity to do it. The department doesn't really have that capacity. And I think they believe that all 17 hospitals will not necessarily opt to be a coordinating care organization, and that's why they've listed them the way they did on the sheet. If it were me, I would not have put together a sheet that was formatted in this way, but that was their decision.
Further discussion? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Berglund yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Berglund, the coordinated care organizations, that seems like a new concept. I'm not familiar with that. And do we know if, well, has any other state done something like this? Or is this new? Or is there a pilot program somewhere?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Limmer, we had this concept in the first bill, but it was structured just a little bit differently. In the first bill, it would have allowed counties to come forward with hospital in their community or hospitals and volunteer to be a coordinating care organization. There are some folks out there who brought this concept to us saying they believe they could do a better job of managing the costs that they might otherwise have in the program by creating new things like new models for medical homes for homeless, mentally ill people. And there are organizations out there that have done that for homeless HIV people already with fair success. And so it was in the original bill. And it was one of the things that in the discussions about reaching a compromise that seemed to be appealing, but the governor felt that we should be making it less voluntary and more of a major part of the program. And so that's why it was switched from counties to hospitals, and 17 of the hospitals that have the largest JMC populations that would have a critical enough mass to form networks at an early time in this process were selected to be coordinating care organizations. Normally, the way this idea would work is people who are a coordinating care organization would be paid a per-person amount to take care of people. This concept doesn't do this. It gives people a share based on their population out of a $71 million fixed appropriation. And so there's no doubt in my mind that hospitals across the state that participate in this program will still have losses. But the idea that they can create a way to do a better job of management for these clients might help them to be able to reduce their losses that they otherwise might have. So that's kind of where it came from. It was a concept in the first bill. It was brought to us, and it was an idea that seemed to be have some common ground where we could then build a program around it that could get the governor's support.
Further discussion, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate Senator Berglund's effort on this bill. I know it's been a long road, and she's working hard to protect a lot of vulnerable people in this. And I appreciate that we are also going to make a very concerted effort to move as many people out of GAMC into other programs. If they qualify for Minnesota Care, they can go there. If they qualify for medical assistance, they can go there. And we're going to make more of an effort to do that and put them into different programs that have been around for a long time, too, and have different sources of funding. I have an amendment, the A-10, that I would like to offer.
Secretary will report the Roebling A-10 amendment. Apparently, it's has to be engrossed. It's not properly, doesn't fit right now, but we'll take care of that. We'll do it before.
Mr. Chair, Senator should Roebling? I start an explanation of it? No. Or we need to wait? Okay, I'll wait.
Why don't you wait till we're ready for it? Right, it's Senate File 406. Senator Olson, do you have a... Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Berglund yield for a question, please?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Berglund, not sitting on this committee and not understanding this stuff not terribly well, but I do have a lot of rural constituents that I'm concerned about, as well as hospitals in my area. And a certain part of my district is close to Wilmer, I see here, when it comes down to the geographics. But when we get a little further out, it's a little bit more of a problem, I guess. I'm just wondering, the other rural hospitals have a six-month period to sign up for that $20 million or so available. How do they go about doing that? Is that going to be a cumbersome thing? I'm concerned about people needing access and running into the emergency room. Is that, I'm sure that's been talked about. Is that going to be an issue? How do they go about doing that, signing up for that money that's available? Maybe you might have even talked about that already.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Ingebretson, it's not going to be cumbersome at all. They just keep track of their claims, and then they send them in to the Department of Human Services, and in December, the Department of Human Services will send them out a check. If there are more claims that come in than the $20 million that's available, then the claims would be prorated.
Senator Ingebretson.
Okay. Thank you for that. So what you're telling me then is they can go to the hospital, their local hospital, still get the care. They just bill it later. Okay, I do understand that. My other question is, no, actually, that was it. I'm sorry, that was the only question I have, and that makes it very clear to me. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 460.
Just to be careful about
Senator Olson.
This is a 15-month number.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to just make the members aware a little bit of the conversation that happened in Health and Human Services Committee and the testimony of the witnesses with regard to this bill. I don't believe there was anyone, unless it was maybe the representative from Fairview Hospital, who didn't say that this bill that we have in front of us today is a much worse bill than the bill we already passed with fairly broad bipartisan support. But particularly from the standpoint of rural hospitals, the rural hospitals that did not testify at that committee but have weighed in since then have told us that it is very unlikely that they will be able to participate as a CCO, even though their names may be on that list. It's still voluntary. But really, to be a CCO, what you need to do is you need to be willing to take an annual payment for each patient and then assume all the risk of delivering the care for that patient, including contracting for outpatient services, dental services, et cetera, et cetera. And so our hospitals have been telling us from every hospital, as far as I know from other legislators, I don't know of a hospital outside the metro area who hasn't said that they're not set up to do this and that they can't afford to assume this risk, and that essentially, even if we put this option for them in law, they won't be able to take advantage of it. And what will happen then as a result, members, is that the money that they would have been able to claim if they were able to be a CCO would instead come down to the metro area, to those few hospitals that have indicated that they would attempt to take advantage of this option. And so what we would be doing is taking the money that we're now getting from the federal government, DSH money, and I know Senator Berglund will say that under the governor's proposal of enrolling everyone in Minnesota Care, we lose that money anyway because we no longer have a GAMC program. But this option takes money away as compared to the status quo that we have right now or the bills we passed earlier, and takes that money away from our rural hospitals, and essentially the practical result of this is going to be diverting this to a few hospitals in the metro area. People who are now eligible for GAMC in rural Minnesota will then have to try to drive to the metro area to get prescriptions filled or to get a doctor to oversee their prescriptions. And those transportation costs alone for whether the county is going to pick them up or whoever is going to pay for that is going to be an added expense that isn't even being taken into consideration here, much less the cost of people coming to the emergency room rather than going to clinics as they can under the existing program where they have some eligibility. And so I guess my point is that, well, I understand that as the chair of the committee, Senator Berglund is carrying this bill. We passed a bill with a much better option. We originally took, and for discussion in the health care committee, a bill that we were given by the hospital association that captured an additional more than, I believe, $100 million than we have in this bill, that simply money we're just losing, leaving on the table. This is going to be devastating for our rural hospitals because I can anticipate that they're going to have a huge amount of uncompensated care. In fact, they're telling us that it would be cheaper for them to absorb the uncompensated care losses than to take the risk of trying to become a CCO. So we're greatly underfunding a program, making it impossible for rural hospitals to really participate. And I just can't understand why anyone thinks this is a better option. So really, rather than Senator Berglund having to defend this, I think perhaps Senator Fischbach or someone who is a ranking minority member or a minority member for in affiliation with the governor, since he's the one putting us in this box, should be able to explain to us why they think this is a better option, because no one in our committee who testified to our committee seemed to think that this was a better option.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have the A51 amendment.
Secretary will report the Roebling A51 amendment.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate File 460 as follows. Page 28 after line 27, insert. This is amendment A51.
Senator Roebling on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, even though the proposal for GAMC is not supposed to include women with children or pregnant women, those people who are in that status are supposed to be able to be moved to Minnesota Care or medical assistance. There has been some cases in the past under GAMC where women have been covered and have been able to receive abortions under GAMC. And so, members, my proposed amendment does something that we claim isn't going to be able to be done in this bill anyway, and that would be to prohibit funding for GAMC to be used to cover abortions, except where the life of the mother would be endangered or continuing the pregnancy would result in substantial and irreversible physical impairment if the fetus were carried to term, or where the pregnancy is the result of rape or incest. The amendment also has some severability clauses and asks that if this is to be challenged, that the case would go right to the Supreme Court for an expedient resolution. And members, I am asking you to support this. One, because it should not be the case where pregnant women would be covered in GAMC. And secondly, even though that is the way it's supposed to be, in the past we have seen some abortions covered by GAMC. In 2007, when we have the last informations, there were 68 abortions paid for by GAMC. And since 1994, more than 1,600 abortions have been paid for through the previous GAMC program, at a cost of more than $380,000. And so this amendment would ensure that the intent of the language is implemented appropriately. And it is the same language that we have with the Minnesota Care Program, and I would really appreciate your support. And I ask for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
There will be a roll call. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Roebling, you know, I've spent over 9 months now trying to figure out how to pay for this program. So obviously, one of the first things I looked into was whether we had people in this program that shouldn't be in it. And one of the groups would be pregnant women, not just related to this service, but, you know, prenatal care in general. And I was told by the Department of Human Services that they installed an edit into their billing system so they won't make any payments like this, and that there would be no savings by trying to eliminate that service or expressly eliminate pregnant women from the program. I think the chart that has been handed out here under the signature of Senator Limmer shows a very marked drop in 2006, I believe, when the edit was installed. And the remaining amount that shows in 2007, I think, are late claims that came in after the edit was installed. So this is not part of the agreement. It's not necessary to be in the bill. And so, therefore, I would ask members to vote against this amendment.
Senator Pappas and Senator Fishbeck. Pappas.
Mr. President, I have an amendment to the amendment, and it's in the process of being prepared, so maybe we should all yield to Senator Limmer, and we can have debate for a little bit longer until my amendment is ready.
Senator Fishbach.
Mr. President, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate for the proceedings of this amendment.
Senate's under call. Senator Fishbach.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is the first time I've spoken upon request of someone in the Senate. But I did want to point out, I'm glad Senator Berglund saw my handout regarding the past history of GAMC and the abortion events that occurred since 1993. 1,652 abortions have taken place during that time period, and at the tune of $380,000. The if these procedures aren't supposed to be included in GAMC, then why would this amendment hurt if it was included? If this is not a procedure that isn't supposed to be in this type of funding, then the amendment shouldn't be harmful to the bill at all, and it should be accepted by everyone. That's the point I'm trying to make, and even though I don't have enough information to keep the clock going for Senator Pappas's amendment, I would like to have you all look at this very carefully. Whether you agree on the policy of abortion or not in this country, even Senator Berglund said that GAMC should not be paying for this type of thing. So it makes pretty good sense to me that we should accept Senator Roebling's amendment. And I hope you would join me and her and others in that endeavor.
We're discussing the Roebling A51 amendment. We're pausing because Senator Pappas is waiting for an amendment to the amendment. Senator Limmer.
While we're waiting for that amendment, would it be appropriate to talk about another subject? Or would I be out of order to raise that question since the amendment is actually on the table or in play?
I think we have to stick to the amendment before us, Senator Limerick.
Mr. President?
Senator Berglund.
As long as we're waiting, maybe I can just give people a little bit more information about this chart that Senator Limmer has handed out.
Does that pertain to the A51 amendment?
Yeah.
Okay, you could visit with us about that then.
Thank you, Mr. President. So just a little bit more explanation about what happens before they had the edit in. Was they would find somebody that was in the program and became pregnant and hadn't been switched to Medicaid before there were some services provided. Even before the edit, they would retroactively bill Medicaid for those services so that GMC wasn't paying for all these things that you have on this chart. This is the number of women that were discovered in GMC to be pregnant. And then those claims were transferred over to the Medicaid program to be paid.
Senator Olson, we're on the A51 amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair, my questions don't go specifically to that amendment. I just thought as long as we're waiting, I do have some questions for...
No, we're going to...
Okay.
With all due respect, Senator, we're going to handle the A51 amendment in front of us, and we'll get back to you.
Mr. President?
Secretary will report the A50... Okay, Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, I move to amend the Roebling Amendment with the A52 Amendment.
Okay. Now the Secretary will report the Pappas A52 Amendment.
Senator Pappas moves to amend the Roebling Amendment to Senate File 460 as follows. Page 1, delete lines 2 to 20 and insert. This is Amendment A52.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this is a more positive, if you will, approach to reach the goal that Senator Roebling and Senator Limmer are after, which is to make sure that no GAMC funding is used for abortion funding. And it's more appropriate, at any rate, if a woman who is on GAMC becomes pregnant, that she be immediately transferred and referred to medical assistance. So this is what the A52 amendment would accomplish.
Discussion on the Pappas A52 amendment to the amendment.
Well,
Senator Roebling.
Mr. Chair, it appears that this changes this quite a bit. It does say that pregnant women would be transferred to medical assistance, but there is still no explicit guarantee, as my amendment offers, that it would that we would not have anyone in GAMC have an abortion paid for by that program, and so I would prefer my amendment, Mr. Chair, and I would resist Senator Pappas' amendment to it.
Thank you,
Senator
Mr.
Pappas.
President. Maybe I should read the amendment if members are not seeing it, including Senator Roebling. It says that if a general assistance medical care recipient becomes pregnant,
the recipient shall be transferred to medical assistance. I don't see how we could be any more clear that GAMC is not being used for abortion.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
Is it appropriate to challenge the germaneness of this amendment to Senator Roebling's amendment? I don't see how that they're related. Senator Roebling's amendment is about prohibiting abortion, and Senator Pappas's amendment has nothing to do with that.
Right. You can challenge me, but I say it is germane immediately. Senator Sanjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Pappas yield?
She will yield. Senator Sanjum.
Mr. President, Senator Pappas, what I'm wondering about, it's my understanding that GAMC is to some extent retroactive insurance, that when you have the malady, whatever it might be, then you go to the doctor, you sign up, and your services are taken care of, at least in the traditional sense. I'm just, you know, it would seem to me that if somebody was pregnant, that was a fairly proactive thing, and you're going to the doctor, you're pregnant, it just doesn't, that's not retroactive, and it seems to me that would not apply in this case. You don't get pregnant after you get to the doctor, I don't think.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Sanjum. I don't pretend to be an expert on GAMC, but it's my understanding that you can apply the day that you seek service. So if a pregnant woman was seeking on GAMC, was seeking service, she would no longer be on GAMC. She would be transferred to medical assistance, as I said earlier.
Okay, we're on the Pappas amendment to the amendment. Senator Koch.
And I would just request a roll call on the Pappas amendment to the amendment.
But a roll call. There will be a roll call on the Pappas amendment. Secretary, any further discussion? Secretary will take the roll on the Pappas amendment. Senate is under call. Secretary will close the roll. There being 41 ayes, 25 nays, the amendment to the amendment is adopted. Senator Roebling. Further discussion, Senator Berglund. Amendment as amended.
Mr. President, for the same reasons that I spoke against the original Roebling amendment, I speak against the amendment as amended.
Further discussion on the amendment as amended. There will be a roll call. Secretary will take the roll on the Roebling amendment as amended. Senate's under call. Should be voting. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 30 ayes and 37 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Hand.
Mr. President, I've got the A23 amendment.
Does it have your name on it, Senator Hand?
Mr. President, I think it's under Senator Senjum's name.
Secretary will report the Hand A23 amendment.
Senator Hand moves to amend Senate File 460 as follows. Page 19 after line 16, insert. This is Amendment A23.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is a very brief, short amendment. It's just one line. It just says, for purposes of this section, resident has the meaning provided under Section 256L.09 Subdivision 2, which is the section of the statutes that establishes residency for Minnesota Care. And all that means is that for under Minnesota Care, for a person to qualify for being eligible for Minnesota Care, they have to be a resident of the state of Minnesota for 180 days, 6 months. And this is an amendment to bring that same language for residency requirement of the GAMC program. And I would urge your support, and I'd like a roll call vote, Mr. President.
There will be a roll call. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and members, I would oppose this amendment as well. We did have quite a bit of discussion in the early days of putting a proposal together about this issue. And what we find is that when people are presenting in an emergency room and they have an emergency, it is not so easy to be able to establish the length of their residency. And in order to be eligible for this program, you have to fax materials in to the county on the day that the individual presents. And so this really would make this program quite unworkable for hospitals that see these patients, and so I would urge you to vote against this.
Further discussion on the Hand Amendment. Senator Hand.
Well, Mr. President, members, we all know we have a challenging financial situation. We are struggling with a program that is very expensive. We've got a compromise that is designed to try to reduce those costs and also bring about some reform. And I think one of the things that we're talking about, there's even provision in the bill, as I understand it, to make sure that people who present themselves under GAMC, first of all, are eligible, and making sure that people who are should be on medical assistance or in a veterans program, that that's where they are directed and not taken in as GAMC patients. I think that it is only the right thing to do, given the circumstances we are in, for the people of Minnesota to make sure that when we are paying for care, that they should be for Minnesota residents. And I don't doubt that there would be some circumstances where this might be difficult, but I think we should at least put that expectation out there so that you have the caregivers understanding that they need to do some due diligence to make sure that they are offering treatment to people who are qualified, who are residents of the state, and perhaps send a message to people who are not residents of the state that that's not a reason to come here or to take advantage of the programs that we have. And so, members, I don't think this is a overly burdensome expectation. It is the same expectation that we have for Minnesota Care, requiring that a person be a resident of the state for 6 months before they're eligible for free medical care from the people of the state of Minnesota, I don't believe is too high an expectation to bear. And so, members, I would encourage a green vote.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and members, one more piece of information. The current program requires a 30-day residency requirement. So it's not like there's no residency requirement in this bill. But having said that, you know, Minnesota Care is an insurance program. You apply. It takes several months to determine if you're eligible and to get enrolled. So having a 6 months residency requirement in a process like that is not onerous. But having a 6 month residency requirement in a program where a provider is determining eligibility and faxing information in that day to get paid for a service that day is onerous. And so all this will do is leave more providers without having a source of payment for people who should be eligible.
Senator Hand.
Mr. President and Senator Berglund, thank you, and members. If there is already a requirement of residency for GAMC of 30 days, then clearly the providers are doing something to establish that the people they're caring for live in the state, at least for that long. And so I don't know that this is much different other than just the length of time that is required to be a resident. And so I think that for purposes of fairness and consistency, having a six-month residency, particularly when we are trying to focus on reform and making sure the program that we are offering is the appropriate one for people who live in the state, I think this is a fair and good requirement, and I ask for a green vote.
Secretary will take the roll on the Hand Amendment. Senators are to vote. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be 33 ayes, 34 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate file 460. Further discussion on Senate File 460. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. If members tonight are looking for the perfect bill, they're not going to find it. Perfect bill's not here tonight, but Mr. President, the people are in this chamber are looking for a bill that can pass, can make it through the office downstairs, can be enacted into law, then this is the bill. I saw Senator Berglund, the leaders in healthcare in the House. I personally was involved on a couple occasions. I saw those people come together and work pretty hard on this. They came together with the governor's office and they, if you will, melded a compromise that we have here tonight. And I'm suggesting to this body that we not give up on this compromise. Unless we want to start the auto-enroll machine and get into MinCare, we ought not give up on this. We ought to, frankly, go forward and pass it. This is the bill, members, that can pass. If you got another idea in terms of a bill that can pass and get enacted into law, then let's start talking about it. But I don't think we're going to find any. And let's not forget what got us here. A veto last spring got us here. The idea that MinCare was going to shut off on April 1st got us here. Good people came together, worked through a bill, which, again, we have in front of us tonight. It's the kind of bill that can pass. And I think, Mr. President, we ought to just do that. We ought to pass it. And think about the bill from the standpoint of reform. Everybody involved in health care reform will tell you we've got to get to quality, we've got to get to results, we've got to simply get away from paying for a whole bunch of tests. This is the kind of bill that gets us there. This is a grand experiment. Mr. President, we need to move forward on this bill. I urge a positive vote. This is a bill that can pass. This is a bill that can become law. And frankly, we simply need to move forward and make sure that it does.
Secretary will give the bill. It's Senator Prettner-Solin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I don't think most of you have read this bill. I think there are maybe three or four people in this chamber that have read this bill, because this is a bad, 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 bad bill. This is horrid. We had a good bill about a month ago. It was also not a perfect bill, but it was something that the consumers came behind, the healthcare providers supported, and it had strong bipartisan support until the governor weighed in. And I can't, I'm sorry, but I can't believe how gutless people are, that you don't stand up for what you believe in. It makes me just furious, because wait till you go home, especially you members in greater Minnesota. Wait till you face your hospitals and you face the people in your districts who no longer have health care. Then you're going to want to run. This bill, and to Senator Fischbach's question, the reason seven hospitals are missing is because they're greater Minnesota hospitals, not metro hospitals, and they've opted out because they can't afford to participate. They can't afford the risk. In my district, one of my hospitals last year lost $8 million. This bill would provide them $2 million, but they stand to lose $20 million this year. Do you know that there's liability issues in this bill that requires that your hospital would have to take on responsibility for the patient that they cover, that they care for, and that the hospital or that the state relinquishes any responsibility at all? Do you know that if you become a CCO, that you then take on total coordination of that person's care, if that includes providing for housing, transportation, chiropractic, dental, many things your hospitals don't provide? Reform? You think this is reform? That's an embarrassment to me to think that this might be reform. This is so far moving backwards that it's a laugh at all the work that this state has done for the past 2 or 3 years. This might work for some hospitals in the metro area. They're not going to get rich off of it. In fact, they're going to lose a lot of money. But in the metro area, at least the hospitals are located within a few blocks or a few miles of each other. So the patients that normally would go there will continue to go there. In greater Minnesota, if you become a CCO, patients are going to have to come from as far away as 100 miles or 200 miles to get to the CCO. How are they going to do that? People on $700 a month? How are they going to provide transportation to get to a hospital that's 100 miles away or 200 miles away? There is a good provision in the bill that provides for the drugs for patients, but they're not going to get their mental health care. They're not going to get their chemical dependency care. This is a bad, bad bill, and I hope you think twice before you would ever consider voting for this bill.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I asked a question earlier for someone to explain, and I guess I heard a little bit from Senator Senjum, but the only explanation I heard from Senator Senjum really was, well, this is the only bill the governor will sign. I don't call that a compromise. I call that putting a gun to your head. Now, the only reason we have a gun to our head is because the governor has said that if we don't do exactly as he says, then he's going to auto-enroll people in Minnesota Care and bankrupt our Minnesota Care healthcare system. And in greater Minnesota, that's really important on a disproportionate basis to people. But in order to save our Minnesota care system, he's going to take away any dollars that we can get for JMC going to our hospitals. Now, I would really respectfully like to ask Senator Fischbach, as the ranking minority member who signed this agreement, oh, I thought you did, I'm sorry, Senator Fischbach, but as the ranking minority member for our committee, whether she thinks this is a better bill, and if so, why? If she will yield for that question. Because, Mr. Chair, there is another option if the governor puts a gun to our head, and I would say that that option is to challenge whether he legally has the authority to auto-enroll people in Minnesota Care. As a legislature, we set the criteria for eligibility for Minnesota Care, and those criteria do not include people who qualify under our rules for the GAMC program. And so that plan would seem to be an overreaching of his authority, of his executive authority, and I think we have the courts available to seek an injunction as another possibility. But it seems to me that to call this a compromise when it totally leaves rural Minnesota out of the loop in terms of access to these funds is no kind of a compromise for us. These are just going to become uncompensated costs that our citizens in rural Minnesota are going to have to pay. So, Senator Fischbach, would you yield for a question?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I'd request a roll call vote for the remainder of the proceedings on Senate File 460. And I'd like a call of the Senate imposed.
Impose a call of the Senate. Senate's under call. Senator Berglund, further proceedings.
So I'd like to ask that further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Coring first, then Senator Prentner Solon.
Mr. President, I know that this is an emotional issue for all of us, but when Senator Prentner Solon spoke and said, are we gutless? I object. I don't know if you're referring to the Senate members, but I object to you referring to the Senate. If that's the way you were stating, I object to that. That is not the way we talk to each other here in the Senate. At least I hope we don't. And so I hope, as emotions boil over here, I hope we don't talk to each other that way. That isn't appropriate.
Senator Prentner Solon, and I'm probably getting close to a vote. Senator Prentner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. One more point of clarification is that the amount that the hospitals are going to be paid in Greater Minnesota is going to be very, very small. In the metro area, those that are participating as CCOs will get some money to participate as those CCOs, but they will get, most of them, about 23% of the cost of providing the care. Some of them will get a 10% bump. In Greater Minnesota, because some of those hospitals aren't participating, the money that they would have gotten as CCOs reverts to the metro area. So it does help to support the metro area. But we then all participate in $20 million pool. Now, you can imagine how far that's going to go when you consider my hospital's losing $20 million this year. So you might get 5% or 10% possibly of the cost of care. The other thing is somebody's got to make up for it, right? It will be us. It will be middle-income people throughout Minnesota. It will be a tax on you. You can't call it anything else but that. It is a tax on us. It's a tax on our hospitals, which they will have to pass through to us.
Secretary will give the bill. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, I never did get an answer from Senator Fischbach about whether she would yield to a question, but I'll pass that by. And I have the A-29 amendment. This is an amendment. In the bill is a 10% bump in reimbursement rates for three metro hospitals. And bill eliminates that bump so that they all get the same reimbursement rate, anyone who does participate.
Secretary will report the M. Olson A-29 amendment.
Senator Olson M. moves to amend Senate File 460 as follows, page 27, line 8. This is Amendment A-29.
Oh.
Senator Olson, any further explanation?
No, Mr. Chair. I guess I could tell you the three hospitals are Fairview, HCMC, and Regions. And two of the three testified in the committee and they, I believe it was HCMC and Fairview who testified at the committee hearing. They both said they still supported the proposition in this bill, although they certainly liked our earlier bills better. They would still support it regardless of whether this 10% increase in their reimbursement rate was removed. And so just out of fairness, as bad as this bill already is for regional for outstate Minnesota, just in fairness, I would ask that we at least eliminate this increase in reimbursement rate for these three specific hospitals.
Senator Berglund on the A29 amendment.
Mr. President, members, I rise to oppose the amendment. As I said in my opening comments, these three hospitals cumulatively previously had about $166 million in payments under GMC. They have the highest total amount of GMC against their total book of business, so they will be the biggest losers under the bill the way it currently is. This 10% bump amounts to $3 million against this $166 million. So it doesn't seem to me like it's an unfair proposition to leave the language in the bill. It is part of the agreement that was signed by both Republicans and Democrats and the governor's representatives. So I urge that you vote no on this amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would like to ask Senator Senjum whether he supports the increased 10% payment for these hospitals, recognizing that it comes at the expense of the other hospitals because there will then be less money in the pool to go around for the other hospitals, and then it can then set a precedent for payments going forward. These hospitals in the metro area, compared to many of our hospitals in rural Minnesota, are already getting paid at a higher reimbursement rate for many different things. And so once again, we're going forward with the proposition of allowing them to be paid at a higher reimbursement rate.
Sedgwick.
Mr. President, Senator Olson, yes, I do not support your amendment. I support the work of Senator Berglund and a whole lot of other people, leaders in the healthcare field within the Minnesota legislature, working with the governor's office that came together and molded an agreement. The framework of that agreement talks about this 10% going to these three hospitals. And I would only say, let's stick with the agreement, let's stick with the bill that can get signed and put into law, let's save GAMC. If we want to fool around with some of these other peripheral issues, and they're not peripheral, they're serious. I understand that, Senator Olson, but let's honor the work, and I will just tell you, members, Senator Berglund did not work with a gun to her head. Senator Berglund's got her own guns. She stood pretty tall in that conference committee, and she worked hard, and she represented her interest. And her interests, indeed, call for this 10% increase on these three hospitals. Fair enough. That's in the deal. We ought to honor it. Frankly, I oppose your amendment and would urge others to do as well.
Mr. Chair, I'd like a roll call vote, please.
There'll be a roll call. Secretary will take the roll on the M. Olson A29 amendment. Senate's under call. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary close the roll. Be it 29 ayes and 38 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have one more amendment, the A31 amendment.
Secretary will report the Olson A31 amendment.
Senator Olson M. now moves to amend Senate File 460 as follows, page 25, line 27. This is amendment A31.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the pertinent part of this amendment begins on line 1.8 of the amendment, and it reads, each hospital or group of hospitals shall receive a percentage of the allocation equal to that hospital or group of hospitals' percentage share of the calendar year in 2008 for general assistance medical care services. Any unallotted portion of the allocation shall be transferred to the uncompensated care pool under Subdivision 8, which then is allowed to carry forward. And in essence, what that means, members, is, as has been explained before, we have hospitals outside of a very few hospitals which are in the metro area who are saying they can't afford to take this risk. We have a set pool of money. And for all the hospitals that don't opt in because they can't afford to do it, those funds become part of the pool that only those very few hospitals then are allowed to access. So it could very well be that the entire $71 million in that pool ends up being used by only a few hospitals in the metro area. What this amendment would do is it would give those hospitals the amount that they are entitled to under the bill according to the 2008 payment schedule, but it would say that they don't get the benefit, and I hate to call it a windfall because I don't think there are any winners in this situation considering the level that we're funding overall, but instead of taking that money away from the other hospitals, which we're hearing are going to be in outside the metro area, and there could very well be hospitals in the metro area as well, but what will happen is that that money just will stay in the uncompensated care pool, which will then continue forward, so at least they will get something rather than having that money end up in the hands of only a few hospitals. And so, Mr. Chair, I would have to say that of either of the amendments I've offered, the other one I think was a not as big a deal in terms of dollar amounts, but this one is a much bigger deal. And if the premise is somehow that all of these hospitals that were listed on this list really would be allowed to participate, then it's not going to hurt those other hospitals because they'll still get that money. They just won't get the extra money because of the other hospitals' inability to participate, so at least they'll continue to get something. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to oppose this amendment as well. In addition to rearranging the money that is part of the agreement in the bill, it makes the uncompensated care pool permanent. And the funding for this is coming out of Minnesota Care on a one-time basis. And I think the governor's office was pretty clear that they would not support having an ongoing uncompensated care pool. So this would be a major break in the agreement that has been made, and I must oppose it.
Could I have a roll call vote again, Mr. Chair?
Roll call. Secretary will take the roll on the A31 M. Olson amendment. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 32 ayes, 35 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion. Secretary will give the bill 460 its third reading.
Senate File 460, a bill for an act relating to health care, establishing mental health urgent care and consultation services, creating a new general assistance medical care program, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. See, members, during the roll call, you should be seated, please. Thanks. Senate's under call. What do we got up there? House Senators. It is 16. What's that? All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the rollers. 50 ayes and 17 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Poker Miller.
Mr. President, is there any work at the desk?
No. It clears the work.
Members, next week we will take up Senator Cohen's bill on Monday, and I'm thinking we should come in at Senator Senjum, what do you think about coming in at 10 a.m.? People could caucus at 9 a.m., come in at 10, take up Senator Cohen's bill. I think, don't most of the rural members come in the night before, or?
Senator Sedgwick.
Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, I don't think a lot of it, and I don't think a lot of other of our members do as well. I think we ought to be able to handle that bill at 11 o'clock. And we would caucus it on our side at 10.
Okay.
And be ready to go.
11 o'clock.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Senjum, then why don't we do that? We'll caucus at 10 also, and session will start at 11 then. I think we also will build a list of general orders for later in the day. And then members, next week the intent would be to meet pretty much all the time, except for the Finance Committee needs some time to process. Apparently, there's some policy matters that are still in the Finance Committee that need to be processed. So I would anticipate evening meetings all next week also on the Senate floor. And we've got about 100 and how many are on general orders?
About 150, Senator.
About 150 on general orders. We will, sometime tomorrow, we'll try to give a list of how those are going to be packaged in groups, so that we can process them kind of based on their topic area maybe. And so next week, authors, there always are members who say, I'm not ready or I don't want my bill heard and I want to wait till the last minutes because I'm going to be a vehicle bill. I would not do that this year because there are going to be no vehicle bills and we are going home early. So my advice, certainly you can do anything you want, but my advice is if you do have a bill on general orders, you might want to process it next week because I'm not sure how much time we're coming back. The focus of the session after next week will be on processing whatever two or three budget bills we need to pass. And so I encourage you. You may want to have a vehicle bill, and I appreciate that, but I don't think there's going to be any vehicle bills. So that's just my advice. You can do anything you want. If you tell my staff that you're not ready to hear your bill next week, that'll just make it a shorter time. But do not anticipate that we are going to come back to your bill. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be other bills in the last two or three weeks. It's just that any bills on general order now probably isn't important enough to come back to later.
Senator Sedgum.
Mr. President, just an announcement. Are we to that at this point?
Yes.
That's right.
Senate Republicans will meet at on Monday at 10 o'clock in our regular caucus conference room.
Senator Moi.
Mr. President, to the members of the Judiciary Committee, as well as members who have bills before the Judiciary Committee, we're meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock in room 107.
Further announcements, Senator Marty.
Mr. President, we will meet the Health, Housing, Family Security Committee meeting is, I believe, at 10 o'clock in room 15.
Further announcements, without objection, Senator Scheid will be excused today from 11 to 11:50. Senator Cohn from 11 to 11:50. Senator Ortman from 8 to 8:05. And Senator Ortman from 8:50 to 9:10. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, the Majority Caucus will caucus at 10 a.m., room 112 on Monday. And, Mr. President, I move the Senate adjourn to, so there will not be a break once we come into session. We'll go right to the Cohen bill. There may be something on the calendar. I don't remember, but.
So on the motion to adjourn till 10 o'clock a.m.
11 o'clock, March 22nd, Monday.
11 o'clock.